who are visiting. I know there's a couple of people here that are here for the first time. We're in the midst of a series of teachings where we're looking at this community and our relationship as Christians in and to it. And behind me here we have this banner, right, that kind of symbolizes our community and how it is that we weave ourselves in and are part of. How are we different? How are we the same? Right. As Christians, what does God call us to be and to do in the midst of our community? Right. So here's a little lesson for those of you who have a little test. Right. The scripture is full of different images, and we've been looking at different images about how we have called to be part of the community. I want to know, what are some of the images that we've covered so far? Who can remember? What's that? Salt. Salt is the first one. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Right? That's another one. We bring salt to our communities. Anybody else? Can you remember the other two? What's that now? Light is what we're going to look at today. Very good. Anybody else? Can you remember? Yeah. The first and second commandments, which are what? Who remembers what the first and the second commandments are? What's that? Who said it? That's right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. The first and the second commandment. What do we bring to our communities? We bring love. Right? We bring salt. And we bring love. What's another thing that we bring to our communities, that we add to it as Christians, as followers of Jesus? Who remembers the third thing? Say, love your neighbors as yourself. That's right. Prayer. That's right. We are people of prayer. As Christians, we realize there's a lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of things that we cannot do. Things that only God can do. So we call upon Him to be at work in and through our community. When it comes to things, we can fix things. When it comes to people, we need God's help, don't we? God is the one who heals, who restores, who forgives. So we come to Him in prayer, asking Him, right, to do these things in our own hearts and lives, but also, right, in the lives of our communities, in our schools, in our places of work, in our condominium community, right, on our cul-de-sac, the different places that we live. Prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Such an important thing. And I guess this is a good place any. I ask you guys to pray for my aunt Kath. My aunt Kath had double knee surgery on Thursday. Her knees were in really bad shape. So she got them repaired, fixed. That surgery went fine. She came to after the anesthesia for a little bit, but then they thought she went back to sleep. They realized later that she, in fact, had a series of strokes. Right, and was in a coma. She wasn't sleeping. She was out of it. And is still out of it. Still in a coma. They did some scans on her brain and found about 12 different spots in and around her brain. So the prognosis right now, medically, if there's any doctors or nurses in the crowd, you know that that's grim. Right, that's grim. So medicines, they're trying different things, they're trying different treatments. Doctors and nurses are running into the limitations of medicine. If Auntie Kath is going to heal, if she is going to come around, we're going to need divine intervention. My mom and family is trying to work their way to Savannah, Georgia, where she is, to see cousins are all over the world and country are trying to get there too. All right, these are examples, right? These are things we cannot do. Right? So, but what can we do? What can we bring to a situation like this? Right? We can bring prayer. that we can cry out before our God and say, Lord, we need your help here. We need your help. We cannot heal her. We cannot fix her. Lord, if you're going to restore her to strength, if you're going to let her walk on those knees, if you're going to let her play the organ once again, you have to intervene. Right, so we cry out. We say, Lord, Lord, just heal her. So I just call upon you to pray for her. Pray for my extended family. Pray for my mom, who may lose her sister. Maybe she's lost a loved one. You just know how this goes. Just pray. If someone would just pray right now, that would help me, because then I can gather myself. We're going to talk about light this morning. So if someone would just please pray for Aunt Kath, the family, that'd be great. You don't have a Bible, you need a Bible this morning. Everyone needs a Bible. There's a stack of Bibles right back here. I'm going to be looking at those in a little bit. Feel free to stand up and get one right now. Please do that. And to start, I want you to just look up on the screen. What I did is I just compiled some headlines that I found in the Grand Rapids Press recently and other online news magazines, and just take a look at them and then read them as they come up. In light of those headlines, hear God's word to us this morning. He says, to us, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, instead, they put it on its stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine, so that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. in these verses, Jesus says to his disciples, he says to those who follow him, that they are the light of the world. And because of this, Jesus commands his disciples to let their light shine. Letting our light shine is not an option. It's not a choice. It's a command. It's a mandate. Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it this way. He says, "Flight into the invisible is a denial of the call. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him." Followers of Jesus do not hide. Do not crawl under a bushel. Do not sit under a bucket. No, instead, followers of Jesus, they let their light shine. But what is this light? What is this light that Jesus is talking about? What is this light that Jesus' disciples have that they are supposed to bring to the world where they live? Listen to some of these passages from the Bible and see if they help you answer this question. John 8, verse 12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said this. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 9, 5 says this. Jesus says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Then John 1. Here John says, "In the beginning was the Word being Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it." What is the light that Jesus is talking about? What is the light that we are supposed to bring into the world? The answer is, it's Jesus. The light is the grace, the truth, and the forgiveness that Jesus offers to you and to me and to the world. That is what we are supposed to bring. John says that in Jesus was life, and that life was the light to all mankind, to everyone. As soon as someone believes in Jesus and receives that grace and truth into their lives, they become a light of the world. They become a light bearer, a light bringer, a light herald. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time, who lived and preached in London, England during the 1800s, also says this about that phrase entitled "Light of the World." Jesus says, "You're the light of the world." Spurgeon says this. He says, "This title, Light of the World, had been given by the Jews to certain of their eminent rabbis. With great pomposity, they spoke of Rabbi Judah or Rabbi Jochanan as the lamps of the universe, the lights of this world." So there were these great rabbis, great teachers. And what title were they given? They were given the title, Light of the World. So then Jesus, in our text for today, he's talking to his disciples and he's saying, "Now you are the light of the world." And it must have sounded strange, Spurgeon says, in the ears of the scribes and the Pharisees, to hear that same title in all soberness applied to a few bronze-faced and rough-handed peasants and fishermen who had become disciples of Jesus. Jesus, in effect, said, "Not the rabbis, not the scribes, not the assembled Sanhedrin, but you, my humble followers, you are the light of the world." In giving this title to his disciples, Jesus is saying, "Now that you are my teachers, you are my guides, you are my instructors in the world in which you live." So when you go to that to your cubicle on Tuesday, right, you are my instructor there. You are my guide. You are a light bringer there. When you go back home here in a little bit, you are my guide. You are my instructor. You are my teacher there. You are the light of the world. You are called to teach people about me, Jesus says. You're called to bring the light to them. Because you and I are followers, we are light bringers. We are commanded to let the light of Jesus Christ shine wherever it is that we go. But how? How do we let our light shine? Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 58. I want us to read this chapter together. Isaiah 58 is found on page what? 526 if you got a Bible off the table. Turn there, please. Isaiah 58. In these verses, in the context of fasting, Isaiah, who was a prophet of God, right, a prophet to God's people, he's talking to the people of God about how they are to be a light to the world. Read with me and follow along. And let's listen to what Isaiah says to us this morning. Isaiah 58. Here we read, "Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the command of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see them naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call on the Lord, and you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, And if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy. Then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. As you both heard and read these words from Isaiah 58, the words of our God, what, if any of them, any words or phrases that Isaiah used in this chapter jumped out at you regarding how it is that we are to let our light shine? How does Isaiah say we are to let our light shine? How does God say through his prophet that we are to let our light shine? What words, what phrases, what imagery does he use? Loose the chains of injustice. All right. We share our food with the hungry. Anybody else? Malicious or bad talk, right? No bad or malicious talk. We let our light shine through the things that we say or don't say, right? Somebody else, sorry, yes? You satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Care for the homeless. Okay, problem solving without violence. Right? Angry fists. Right? Even on the day of fasting, on the day that's supposed to be dedicated to the Lord, they get into a brouhaha, don't they? Put them up. Let's go. We let our light shine by problem solving without our fists. Cry for help. Okay. Be a rebuilder of ruins. God calls us this morning to let our light shine. You are the light of the earth. Let your light shine. Let your light shine by loosing the chains of injustice, by sharing with those who are hungry or those who are in need, for providing shelter for those who need it. By being careful about what you say. We let our light shine by refraining from malicious talk. We let our light shine by going into a situation of conflict, bringing our fists down. We let our light shine by not pointing a finger at others. Trying to satisfy the needs of those who are oppressed. Why? Why do we do this? Why do we let our light shine? Why? Why? Jesus makes clear to us why. He says, you are the light of the earth. Let your light shine. Why? So that others may see your good deeds, may see our good deeds, and what? And praise our Father in heaven. there's a reason that the Lord wants us to be teachers. There is a reason that our Lord wants us to let the light of Jesus Christ shine, no matter where we are. And why is that? So that others will also praise our Father in heaven. He doesn't want us to let our light shine so that people will praise us. No, He wants us to let our light shine so that people will praise their Father in heaven. The goal is not to draw attention to ourselves. The goal is to draw others' attention to the Father in heaven. Consider with me the difference between two types of lights: a spotlight and a lighthouse. They're two common lights in our world, especially in West Michigan. We have a lot of lighthouses around. Spotlights. What's the purpose of a spotlight? Say that again. Center stage. Right? It helps focus the attention on who or what is performing, speaking. Right? Center stage. Got to be able to see. Right? So the attention is drawn here. What about a lighthouse? What's the purpose of a lighthouse? Why do we have lighthouses? What are they used for? To draw people in. Right? For a warning. Right? Watch out. Has anybody ever been lost on the water? Nobody? Yeah? Okay. When you're lost out on the water, you want to know where it is that you need to go. The lighthouse, right, shines light on and says, this is where you are. Come here. I'm going to be going to Holland State Park here later this afternoon. Big Red. How many of you know Big Red? Right? When you're out on Lake Michigan, right, and a storm comes in or it gets dark, you want to know where it is that you need to go. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. Right? The lighthouse enables you to get out of trouble and get to the safe harbor. Its purpose is not to draw attention to itself. You don't want to run into the lighthouse. Right? You want to get through the channel to the harbor so that you can find. It's a conduit. If you run into the lighthouse, right, it's no good. You want, it draws our attention somewhere else. Spotlight, right? External light coming at us. Lighthouse, internal light going out, drawing people away. The demand that we be lights of the world is not a demand that we display righteousness, Brian Findelson says. The call to be lights is not so that people can see us and say, "Woo, that is one cool dude." The righteousness that we display must point others to Jesus Christ. It's a conduit. If it's coming to ourselves, if we're getting accolades for it, it's something different. Right? It's something different. We let our light shine so that others may see and praise our Father in heaven. The men's breakfast group is going through Acts. Later on this afternoon, read chapter 3 of Acts. The story about where Peter heals a paralytic. They're going to the temple to pray, and there's a paralyzed man there begging for money. Peter says, "Money I don't have, but what I do have I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And the man is healed. Right? Just stands up and walks, starts praising God. And everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. We know this guy who just sits on the mat. Now he's walking. People start to find out about it. What do? They start flocking to Peter. "Give me some of that. Give me some of that. Give me some of that." Peter had an option. What he could do. Could he receive all the accolades? "Yeah, I'm pretty cool, aren't I? Made that guy walk." Peter immediately dismisses it. Says, "What are you coming to me for? I didn't heal this guy." Peter redirects. Father in heaven. The healing was a conduit so that other people can praise. Don't come to me. Go to Him. Don't come to me. Go to Him. We let our light shine so that people can go to Him. What do we bring to our community? What do we bring? You are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. In the same way people don't light a lamp and put a bucket over it. No, instead they put it on a stand so that it can be a light to everyone in the house. Therefore, let your light shine. As you heard those things in Isaiah, what does that mean? What does that mean to let your light shine in 2011? Let your light shine so that others may see your good deeds and what? And praise your Father in heaven. Would you pray with me this morning?